Hello Mzansi, welcome to another episode of Farmers Inside Track. My name is Duncan Masiwa. Now this episode is part of a special series we're doing with the Red Meat Producers Organization. And in this episode, we take you behind the scenes of South Africa's red meat supply chain, exploring the vital role farmers play in bringing high-quality, locally produced meat to your table. We're joined by Rustin Shaw, a KwaZulu-Natal-based cattle and maize farmer, who shares his insights on responsible animal husbandry and sustainable farming practices. We also discover the dedication and expertise that go into every cut of red meat and get a transparent look at the journey from farm to table, showcasing the effort behind producing fresh, ethically raised meat. Rustin, it is lovely chatting with you. Welcome to Farmers Inside Track.
Yeah, how's it, Duncan? Appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Fantastic. We're talking about the supply chain of South Africa's red meat industry, and we'll get into that a bit as we proceed in the interview. Maybe just to get to know you a bit better for our listeners, I know that every farm has a story. So tell us a bit about your farm, how it started, what makes it unique, and what keeps you going every day, I suppose, in this challenging but rewarding work that you do.
Well, farming comes probably fourth generation here. The history is fourth generation. My great-grandfather came up to the Utrecht, quote, KZN, northern KZN area in the 1820s, and he was a lawyer, bought a piece of land, and then my grandfather farmed it, and then my father and his brothers farmed that, and I've taken over since. Unfortunately, I farmed with my father for 17 years before he passed, and for the last 4 years I've been farming on my own, but basically given me all the knowledge I need to carry on. And I suppose what's unique about our farming is the number of years we've been in the game and the experience we've picked up over the years of cattle farming. Just love what we do. I think that's what gets us up in the morning. We love what we do. And I think in any profession, if you don't love what you do, you're not going to make a success of it. Huh?
Most definitely. I cannot imagine a farmer choosing to be a farmer and not loving what they do. It would make no sense at the end of the day, especially when you consider the amount of work and sacrifice that goes into running a farm, not just in South Africa, but anywhere in the world. I know that your farm focus is cattle farming as well as a maize component that you have. Maybe paint us a picture of what a typical day on your farm looks like, Rustin. What's it like caring for your animals and making sure that they're healthy and thriving?
We get up early. I start off my day with reading my Bible as such and then having a quiet time before I get around and do my things. And then we look at the weather. We organize around the weather. I go outside. I meet with all the people that work for me, my workers, as well as my herdsmen. And the first things first is the health status of our animals. We go through all our animals, count them. We make sure the count's right, make sure that the grazing's good and the paddocks they're in, the water's clean, and the lick supplements that they have are enough, and make sure that they're not chasing them too fast. If they are, then we know that the grazing's not good. Once we've inspected all the cattle and we know everything's healthy and happy and we don't have to do crisis management, we carry on with what we've planned for the day. And that's, for example, fencing, cattle crawl work, baling, fertilizing, fire breaks, reaping, milling, and general maintenance of the farm. So we'll carry on with that.
I know that farming for many is a spiritual journey, Rustin. Why is it so important for you to starting your day with God?
That gives me the strength. Usually the reading that I would read would be pertaining to my situation of the day. And that gives me my strength for challenges, I suppose. Fortunately, I'm a Christian. And feel that it helps me a lot, and knowing that there's someone else batting for me, or I being, and of course, our Lord batting for me when there are issues.
When you're a farmer, you definitely need to hold on to a higher power because you can't do it on your own. And of course, after inspecting your cattle and establishing that there's no crisis management needed, how do you ensure your animals are not just well fed, but truly cared for, you know, from their nutrition to their health and their overall well-being, I suppose? What does it mean to you to raise them with this kind of dedication?
We'll follow a strict inoculation program and a deworming program. We look at the animals physically, look at their condition and their health status, and according to that, we will treat them accordingly. I suppose it's all about profitability. Yeah? The better you look after your cattle and the better you manage your animals, the better they'll look after you. And also, I suppose it's about compassion. You love what you do. You love your animals and you hate seeing them being under any stress of any kind. So you practice the best ways of practicing and management as you can to make sure their health status is the best.
Ruslan, many consumers may not realize how much love and effort goes into protecting the land that feeds us. I mean, before joining the agricultural sector myself, I had no idea the amount of work that goes into farming behind the scenes. What sustainable farming practices have you embraced to keep your soil healthy, your water clean, your livestock thriving, all while producing the best quality meat?
Duncan, if I think back, it was about over 20 years ago. Our practice was we had winter grazing and summer grazing. And we used to trek to the winter grazing, and that's when the cattle used to calve in August, and then trek them back up to summer grazing. But their paddocks as such, they used to have one paddock for the whole of the summer. And we noticed that there was a decline, let's say, in the quality of the grazing. So we did a bit of research and then we changed our practice, and we found we could actually keep more cattle on the same amount of grazing by rotating them. And the more rotations you have, the higher your carrying capacity, as well as the increased quality of your grazing. So we follow a rotational grazing system. It's a 4-to-5 paddock system. This is purely on practical bumping your head and seeing how this works and noticing that it works better. It's a 4-to-5 rotational system of about 30 to 40 days of rest. Of each paddock has 30 to 40 day rest before the cattle return to that specific paddock. And the other ways of doing it, of course, is fire breaks in the winter. We preventing certain paddocks from burning, some paddocks not from burning, and some for not burning, for better management of our grazing. So that's helped a lot. And then, of course, water, we're very lucky in that we live right in the mountains where the source of the water comes. So our water doesn't run through populated areas such as cities to be polluted in the first place. So that's a huge plus. And then, of course, we try and create dams, and then troughs would lay pipes on where the cattle don't have to walk in the dam itself, and that they are supplied by water troughs straight from the dam and close off the dam. So the cattle don't walk in the dam at all, and they're getting pure, clean water. Yeah, that's generally how we try and go after our environment.
Sure. Many South Africans are listening to you right now, and some of them are jealous of the animals and the environment that they are raised in and the pure water that they have access to. It's absolutely good. It's a comfort knowing that there's a lot that goes into producing the quality meat that we see behind the scenes. And of course, there's a whole value chain involved in this. Producing top quality red meat takes more than just good farming. It's a whole team effort. How do you work with abattoirs, processors, and even retailers to make sure that the care and quality you put in on the farm reaches the consumer's plate?
In our situation, we breeders. We have to breed top quality animals for the market. We're not as much involved in the abattoir and the feeding process as such. So we produce weaners as such for the feedlots that then further feed them for the abattoirs. And then we're not really involved in the retailers as such. But what we do try and do is we weigh our bulls. I produce bulls for the market. So our bull calves are weighed at weaning, and then again at 300 days, then again at 600 days. And in that way, we select the animals with the best growth and also fertility and many, many different aspects that select our animals. And then obviously the feedlots would buy your animals knowing that they grow very well in their feedlot for profitability. And then, of course, we follow using technology. We will use, for example, we've got embryo programs where we try and produce more of the best quality animals we've got on the farms by using embryo programs and to be able to produce for the end product eventually to what's on the plate.
Rasen, when a family sits down to enjoy a meal, they trust that the meat on their table is fresh, that it's safe, and it's of the highest quality. What steps do you take to make sure every cut of red meat from your farm meets those standards?
To produce the animals that are clean of disease and all that type of thing, we follow those inoculation programs. We inject everything we have to. The supplementation of the animals is of clean, pure feed, you know, grazing, and then just supplements on the grazing. There are no hormones and all that involved. So we follow the process to try and produce top quality, healthy animals for the next process.
Looking ahead, Rustin, what's your vision for the future of red meat farming in South Africa? You've been involved in the industry for a number of years now. Are there any innovations or changes that you are perhaps excited about that could help farmers produce even better quality meat while caring for the environment and their animals, of course?
There are already innovations that we're already practicing. For example, I was explaining earlier about the embryo programs in which you selecting animals that are performing incredibly well, and you are multiplying those genetics to produce even better meat for the market. And then we also do DNA testing on all our stud animals, for example, the mother and the father. We know exactly, we do DNA to make sure who's mom and who's dad exactly to produce the most predictable animals for the market. And then we also do DNA testing of double muscling genes. This is basically to stop the cow from breaching so that it doesn't breach its calf, that it calves easier, gets up easily, and suckles quite easily. Also, the DNA testing for double muscling would mean lean beef, and you could either produce that and multiply animals with double muscling, which means you would produce more lean beef, and or you could produce animals with better fat layer on the meat by not producing animals with double muscling. So we also use the tool, the DNA testing for double muscling, to manage our breeding and to produce the type of animal for the market.
That was, of course, Rustin Shaw, a KwaZulu-Natal-based cattle and maize farmer. You can read more on this topic by visiting www.foodfromzanzi.co.za. And that's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss any of the episodes. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food for Mzanzi, thanks for listening.